All right, yes, Laura.
Thank you for the crowd for Kevin, number 21.
Mm-hmm.
That still needs to come up. And he gets his blood tested twice a week, Monday and Thursday. So she called and still needs to come up. So they dropped one of his anti-rejection meds, so he does all of that. And trying to get it to come back up.
Still balancing all that now. Okay. All right. Well, let's set those aside and we'll go to what the Lord has kind of laid on my heart this evening. Like I said, I was a surprise when you get a call and asked to do this, but I figured the call is from God. It's not from anybody else. So how can you say no to God? But rejoice. The Lord who has redeemed you is worthy of your love and worship. You should enjoy food because it's God's gift. But if you love it, you'll end up being fat and unhealthy. Well, hopefully not, but you should be thankful for the money that God provides. But if you love it, you'll find yourself a workaholic and or you could be in debt. Surely you should celebrate the pleasures and comforts that God puts in your life. But if you love them, you will soon be addicted. Here is the spiritual reality that you need to know and understand and live in the light of. If you love the gifts and not the giver, your heart will never be satisfied. But if you love the giver, your heart will be content and you will be able to enjoy his gifts while keeping them in their proper place. So it's all about the heart. But beneath this reality are even deeper spiritual realities. The first thing that you need to understand is that you were created to love. You just don't love. You are a lover. This means that you're always looking for some affection in life and something that is dear to your heart, and you're surrendering to these affections. Whatever the commands of love of your heart is also shapes the direction of your life. But there's more to be said. You were also created to worship. You just don't occasionally worship in moments of intentional and formal religious activities like we have here. But you are a worshiper. You're always looking for something which you can attach your identity to. Your hopes and your dreams and your inner peace. Whatever controls the worship of your heart controls your choices. It controls your words, it controls your emotions, and it controls your actions. And so now, because you're a sinner, it's very tempting to give that love and worship to something that wasn't meant to be. It was meant to give to God and God alone. But there's something in creation that we have done. And in Romans chapter 1, verse 22 through 25, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. They changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to the corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanliness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. So what we've done, we've substituted the worship of God for something in creation that we can control in our heart. We've set that affection on it. So we've taken this affection and submission and service of our heart that meant to be reserved for the Creator, and we've placed it on these created things. We all do this in some way. Not all the same, we're all different. But in some way, we've set our hearts on something that is in creation and not the Creator. The desire for good possessions is not wrong, but it must not rule your hearts. The hunger for comfort and ease is not ungodly in itself, but it must not rule your heart. A desire for even a good thing becomes a bad thing when that desire becomes the ruling thing. Good things never result when the love for and the worship of the Creator are replaced by love for and the worship of created things. So, what does grace do? God has a plan. He's always got a plan. Grace works to rescue us from ourselves. And it progressively breaks our bondage to this created world, turning the deep affection of our heart toward God. It's a rescue mission. His grace is poured out on us every day to break that connection to the world so that we focus back on Him. That focus on Him as the Creator. God alone is worthy of our worship. God alone is able to satisfy and bring peace to our hearts. The work of rescue is not complete yet in any of us. Yes, by grace, we love the world less than we did once, and we surely love God more than before. But our hearts are still torn, and our loyalties at points are still confused. But don't fret. Grace will win and bring final rest to our worship and our love. Here is an example that I found of tremendous grace. 2 Corinthians 12:9, "And he has said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weakness, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me.'" And this is Paul speaking about his weaknesses and how God has used them. And this example is about a man. His name is Paderewski, and you probably heard this before. It's been around a little bit, but he lived from 1860 to 1941. He was a genius. He was intellectual, a statesman, a linguist who spoke no less than 7 languages fluently, a great musician, a patriot, and a humanitarian. He was a volunteer that led an army of volunteers of Polish descent organized in North America to fight for Poland's freedom in World War I. And every day when they called the roll, when they called his name, the entire army answered present. He was so popular. He signed the Versailles Peace Treaty in 1919 as Poland's prime minister and became the first delegate to the League of Nations. He was a concert pianist. He had contributions that he gave to a lot of different things in the world. A cathedral in Lausanne, a concert hall in Switzerland, unemployment funds for workers, wartime orphans, a Jewish hospital, and the American Legion for disabled veterans. So he was quite a humanitarian. And by presidential decree, he was buried at Arlington Cemetery in Washington, D.C. And it was a temporary burial until Poland became free, and then they moved him back there. He was discouraged from being a pianist by his teachers, and yet he traveled the whole world, gave more than 1,500 concerts in the U.S. He appeared in every state in the United States and drew the largest crowds in history. And we might have heard the term long-haired music. Well, he had red hair and real long hair, and he was a great big guy, so they think that's where this long-haired music, and of course he played classical music. But here's the interesting thing. He organized a meeting for the Polish Relief Fund, and this guy drew a poster and included a sketch of him next to a boy at the piano. And a story was kind of fabricated around this picture. I don't know how true it is, but just imagine this picture. it's before the concert begins, and everything's quiet, and it's dark on stage, and here this little boy runs up, jumps on the piano, and starts playing Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. Well, Pădurescu was in the waiting in the wings to come out, and he come out, and this little boy, you know, and he sat down with him, and he said, "Don't stop, keep playing." And so he started playing the bass to the boy's melody, and between the two of them, they had a duet that just astounded the whole crowd. He said, "Stop, don't stop, keep playing." And he helped him fill in the rest of the movement, and the little boy played the melody. It was a mesmerizing performance with the help of this master pianist. That's what Jesus does. He says, "Don't stop. Keep playing." He's right alongside of us. He's the master. He gives us that grace to keep going, to keep doing, to keep loving, keep obeying the Lord. That obedience is the key, but He's right alongside of us saying, "Don't stop. Keep playing." And He fills on all the rest of it with His grace. I hope that you can find time for the Lord in your daily schedule, because He'll pour out His grace on you to do that. And that's the key to this walk. Why don't we close in prayer, and then we'll go to our prayer groups. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for blessing us. Thank you for speaking to us. And I pray, Lord, that we can listen every day to what you have to say to us. We lift up these requests that were mentioned and many more that weren't, and just pray for your perfect will to be done in each life. In Jesus' name, amen.